Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Really happy to have Ruth Fortune in studio. She's a Democratic candidate in the 1st Congressional District. You have the incumbent John Larson. You have Luke Bronin, who's the two-term mayor of Hartford. You have Jillian Gilchrist, a state rep. You had Jack Perry, who dropped out in Southington. And so it's good. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be here,
Brian. It's great to be with you. And I know you're busy with your practice and with your family, and it's a busy time of the year. So I appreciate you taking the time to come in. I guess there's an article in The Current, an op-ed by Ruth, and you can go to current.com or just Google Ruth Fortune and Current, and you'll get it. And it basically, I feel like it's you saying, hey, I'm here. Like, I'm here. Like, I felt like you were like trying to slap voters on the face, but like wake people up that you're in this race, and you felt maybe a little dismissed by the piece in the New York Times, right? Just tell us before we get to the candidacy, like why you decided to write this piece.
I wrote this piece exactly for what you said. There are so many systemic barriers to candidates like me, including not getting media coverage. And I can complain about it, or I can seize the opportunity and make my voice heard. And that's what I did with that article. And who I am at this time really does matter. Politics has found me every time. And I entered this race because my family came here for Haiti in search of economic opportunity. That's why we weren't refugees. We came here very deliberately because we know the promise of America. And so many of the opportunities that I've had and the paths that I've used to get to where I am, they're being systemically dismantled under the Trump administration. And it's getting much harder for people to achieve their dreams and aspirations. And that's why I'm in this race. As someone who's navigated systemic barriers, overcome those barriers, I know what it's like to fight and overcome, and I know what it's like to take on systemic barriers, and that's why I'm here.
So I want to get to immigration, in the next segment, because we only have a little bit here. But so in terms of you maybe being a little overlooked, do you think it's because you're a person of color? Do you think it's because you came here as an immigrant? Are you a woman? I don't know. Like, what are the reasons you think that has happened, and you feel like you haven't gotten necessarily the attention you deserve?
I think the system is designed to propel some people forward. And as it is, the status quo protects incumbents in Connecticut.
That's true.
It is incredibly challenging to get on the ballot. In the media, it's a very clean, easy story to cover the money, how much people are fundraising, because it's very concrete. The numbers are there. It's so much harder to give in-depth coverage on the issues, on policies. And I find that I am getting better and smarter at educating reporters and doing more in-depth conversation and diving deeper, because there's a lot more to see. My policies, although we may agree on many issues, my policies and my priorities are different than some of the other candidates in this race, because I see where the pain points are in day-to-day lives for so many Americans.
Well, I mean, the issues we're going to get into, healthcare, we're going to get into immigration, of course. I want to talk about that. We only have about a minute before we have to take another break. One of your proposals is a $25 minimum wage, which a lot of economists, and again, economists have been proven, like, you know, we don't know what the tariff regime will eventually do, but it certainly hasn't wrought what a lot of economists said. But economists have told me that kind of minimum wage would be a potential small business killer, right? So tell me about why you think it would be successful.
My plan does have provisions to help small business owners, but ultimately what's happening right now is working poor and working people are subsidizing corporate profits. So many of the problems that we face is because working people are not earning enough money. The reason we have tens of millions of people in SNAP benefits, the majority of whom are working, is because they're not earning enough money. This is addressing the root issue. If we stop funneling money into government programs and actually let people earn enough to live with dignity and choose how to spend that money themselves and build wealth for their own families, that is empowering people. That is incentivizing people to work, because it's making working worthwhile for people.
Why hasn't the marketplace elevated wages enough to accomplish that, do you think? And that's not a leading question. I don't have an answer. Because you have this thing where, you know, the CEOs make so much more money and they pay less taxes than the working class, middle class. And so, like, the wealth gap increases. But, you know, some people say let market forces take care of it. But why haven't market forces elevated wages more?
Because market forces are not designed to create a fair society. currently, the mandate that you have as a business, a corporation, is to maximize shareholder profits. So you want to take every dollar of profit and give it back to shareholders by stock appreciation or dividends or stock buybacks or what have you. It's not designed to make sure that the employees who are not owners of those businesses are participating in the growth and in the profit. And that's where government's role is to intervene to ensure that it is fair and competitive for everyone who's participating, for owners and employees and workers alike.
Ruth Fortune, she's an attorney. She's a part of the Hartford School Board, which I would love to get into that stuff as well. And she's a Democratic candidate in the first district to try to unseat John Larson. And it's a pretty crowded field. Pretty incredible that that many people are running against a 14-term incumbent. It's really, it's a story in its. We're back here with Ruth Fortune, again, Democratic candidate for the first congressional district, running against John Larson. I want to ask you, because, you know, Jack Perry backed out, but it's you, it's Jillian Gilchrist, Luke Bronin. Why is it, in your opinion, that so many people think it's time for him to leave Congress?
I think people are fed up with the status quo. They see that what we've been doing is not working. I was the first to enter this race precisely for that reason. I think you could have served and done your best, but at some point it is honorable to have someone pass the baton and continue the fight, because fresh voice and fresh energy to the same fight can make a huge difference.
I want to ask you about immigration, because, you know, you're now, were you born in Haiti?
I was born in Haiti.
Okay. And how old were you when you came to the States?
I was 12.
12. Oh, wow. It's French?
French and Haitian Creole.
Okay. And could you speak English when you got here?
No, I could not. I was studying 5 languages in Haiti as a 6th grader, but when I came here, I had to learn English.
Oh, wow. So, you know, for me, this is such a dynamic issue, because I think by this point, Democrats have to acknowledge that the border was a problem, right? It wasn't dealt with well in the previous administration. But at the same time, it doesn't feel like America to me to have people picked up in the middle of the day by masked people in plane. You know, like the extremes that I don't really know how to reconcile, right? And I'm just curious of where you stand on what's going on.
I think the Trump's policies are cruel, and it almost seems like cruelty is the point. What he's doing is not making America safer or making America stronger or even attracting the best and the brightest to America anymore. It's simply vindictive and, frankly, racist in terms of who he's targeting as far as immigrants are concerned. My family came here in search of economic opportunity. Many of the immigrants who choose to come here in search of opportunity, they are the most innovative, ambitious, hardworking people. And that's why we see, statistically, immigrants open more small businesses. Immigrants will work really hard. We will walk barefoot on hot coals if that means through that path we'll get to our dreams. And that's what my family has done. That's what I have done. And we're at a point now where we are penalizing and demonizing immigrants simply because Trump needs a scapegoat. He needs someone to blame for the things that government has failed to provide. I in no way has stopped anyone from having affordable health care or being able to pay their rent or have food on the table. My family has worked hard to do these very things for ourselves. What's blocking people from doing that are poverty wages, not having accessible health care to everyone, not having schools that are fully funded and opportunity to all children, regardless of zip code. Those are the policies that we should be talking about, not spending billions of dollars on ICE agents who are simply terrorizing people in our streets.
So
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having 4 kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
If it were the dynamic that it was 2 years ago during the Biden administration, you'd say, fine, let's just keep doing what we're doing. I mean, were you okay with the way it was? Like, I don't disagree with that. I think that Stephen Miller is trying to get out the same number of people that got in during Biden. I think he wants to do whatever it takes. But at the same, and I believe in legal immigration and I want it expanded. But I think that having that many people just come right over the border and then we have to figure out a way to handle it isn't tenable either.
It is our prerogative as a country to control our borders, and we've always had control over that. Each administration gets to do that as it wishes. I think there are ways that Biden could have handled border control in a more effective manner, but the reality is we have so many hardworking immigrants who are here, who've been here for decades, who have contributed to our economy, to their communities, who have raised American children. They have no path to remain here legally, and they are easy targets for the Trump administration. If I did not marry my husband, who was an American citizen, I would still have temporary protected status, which is ending now for Haitian nationals this coming February, and I would be subject to deportation. I could still have been an attorney. I could still have the same American children I have now. Everything in my life could be the same, except my TPS, if my husband was an American, would be ending this coming February, and I would be subject to deportation.
I mean, are there people in the community, in your Haitian community, who are worried?
Absolutely. Immigrants across the border are worried. My mother, who's a U.S. citizen now, did not go visit my brother in Texas because she was too afraid to travel domestically as a U.S. citizen without me with her. She carries a copy of her passport to her English class that she attends. People are living in this frightened state. And for people who are not immigrants, who have the benefit of American citizenship like I do now, the reality is stripping immigrants of their humanity and constitutional rights, it is creating a blueprint for this administration that they can apply to anyone else. When the rule of law ceases to apply to a certain group of people, Trump can redefine who those people are and include anyone he wants in the future.
So this is a really good conversation to have, and I have more questions, but I want to get more in with Ruth Fortune, Democratic candidate for the 1st Congressional District here in Connecticut, because I think it's important. Healthcare is another, to me, a mess because of all the interstate commerce regulations and all the profit motivation. I'm not a big fan of government running single payer, but I think the current model is not only is it broken, but it's stupid, right? And so I don't know what to do. I don't think just tacking on subsidies and underwriting it for people who can't pay is the right answer either. So you can't solve healthcare in 90 seconds. I know that, but I mean, what is your sense of can you give people a little snippet of your approach?
Yes, ultimately, I think healthcare is a right, and we are a country that is wealthy enough that we can actually pay for everyone who is here to have access to quality healthcare. We know there are certain people in our population for whom it will never be profitable to insure them. Elderly people, children who are born with severe genetic conditions or severe developmental conditions, people with chronic illnesses, cancer patients. Insurance is one of those industries where profit, if the goal is always profit, we know there are people who are going to suffer and are going to die. That's why it's an area where government is necessary, because we already do it, right? We do it with Medicare. We do it with so many other programs with people who are very expensive to insure. We need to expand that access so that everyone can have access to health care.
So I think it's a right and not a privilege, too. I just don't trust the government to do a good job executing it. So that's where I have trouble reconciling, because I think you're right. I think the extreme profit motivation compromises people. And I think it is a right, but I don't know that the government will do a good job. So I don't know what to do then. I don't know how to support what.
You know, there's an old saying that says, all the government that we need, but only the government that we need. Healthcare is a space where we really do need the government to intervene, because private insurance companies are simply not going to offer the healthcare that people need.
But subsidizing, right? I'm sorry to interrupt. Subsidizing the ACA is just taking government money and giving it to the health insurance companies. That doesn't help. That doesn't help the system be better.
that same money that we're using to subsidize could actually be a way to expand Medicare access so that more people can have coverage and actually improve not only people's lifespans, but people's quality of lives as well. If people have more access to preventative care, primary care physicians, instead of simply going to emergency rooms and acute care providers, we are being more efficient with our spending dollars and improving people's lives in the process.
Ruth Fortune, Democratic candidate for Congress in the 1st District. We have like 45 seconds. So unfair. The Democratic Party, like, what do you think the party writ large needs to get back, either a chamber of Congress or even eventually the White House?
I mean, specifically in Connecticut, what the Democratic Party needs to do is understand that their roles as Democratic Town Committee members or delegates at the convention, it is not to close ranks or rubber stamp candidates. It is to allow for robust primaries. There are four of us in this race, and the truth is, this will be historically the first time that at a convention, anyone other than incumbent may get on the ballot. It is time that the people who are hardworking volunteers in the party understand that they serve as gatekeepers to a great extent. What they need to do is open opportunity to candidates who are fighting, because more candidates mean more voter engagement, better turnout, and engaging all of us in robust discussion about how do we take on the issues that have been plaguing us for so many years.
Thank you. We'll continue the conversation, I hope. I hope you and your family have a happy new year.
Thank you. Happy new year to you as well.
Ruth Fortune, again, she's on the Harvard School Board. She's an attorney, and she's a candidate for the Democratic nomination in the 1st Congressional District.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.